Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I found it somewhat, you might say, serendipitous this morning that after those who had been at NYG shared the richness of their experience and their time there, that the first words from the intro were these: "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." Again, I'm so grateful for your witness of what God has done for you and bringing that in the midst of the congregation for us to hear and to also share. Here again, from the epistle lesson. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Those words remind us that the cross is the sign of commitment that God made to us in Christ. The cross, St. Paul tells us in this verse, the cross is the power of God for those who are being saved. It's the revelation of the cross as God's source of our salvation that we commit to as Christians. What a thing! This cross, which as a device of torture is a symbol of defeat and death to this world, the cross is for us the power of God. Only those who vanquish others have the power to use a cross against the defeated. So to this world, the cross is a symbol that those who are put on it have been conquered. And yet, that same cross for the Christian reveals the victory of God for ours and the world's salvation. This cross reveals to us that Christ held nothing back. He was not restrained in his commitment to the plan of salvation for this world. Listen, from the Old Testament lesson today, it says this: "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." The plan of God is to shatter the yoke of sin and to remove the rod of the oppressor, who is Satan. That is what the cross has done. That plan has been carried out. The plan of God to bring salvation to the whole world was laid out before the world even began. We're talking about that now in Sunday school, how the world began. And before that, God had laid out this plan. But it had to be properly executed for it to be experienced. In today's lesson, the plan included, in the gospel lesson today, the plan included the calling of the disciples, the healing of sickness throughout the region. Did you notice how many regions were mentioned in the gospel lesson? And the disease, healing the disease, and the preaching of the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. God's plan was and still is that all his creation worship Jesus. He came to fulfill God's plan of salvation by allowing himself to die, defeated on the cross, but then to rise victorious to new life again. And in that victory, again from the Old Testament lesson, Jesus is the one who rejoices when dividing the plunder. Only in that way could we see that God's passion for us knows no limits, has no constraints on it. Now, in our sin and our rebellion, we put limits not only on ourselves, but we also put limits on creation. God's plan has always been to free us from that, to shatter the yoke that burdened us and creation. And the only thing that could reveal that to us would be his commitment to us that shows his singular victory over sin, over death, and over the devil. Only God. Only God can break the limits that we have under sin. Sin's power must be destroyed if those limits on us are to be broken, and the commitment of God to breaking us free rests in one place alone, and that's the cross. The cross alone. That defeat in the eyes of the world is victory for us who are lost under sin. Many years ago, Roman Catholic bishop of the church in the Philippines, it was his duty to check out a woman's claim that she had seen visions of Jesus Christ. The bishop asked her this question, or told her this. He said, "The next time you see Jesus, ask him what sin your bishop committed when he was just a young theologian." The next time he saw the young woman, the bishop asked, "Did you ask Jesus about the sin I committed when I was a young man?" She answered, "Yes, I did." Jesus said he didn't remember. He didn't remember. Now, whether or not the details of the story happen, the truth of this story is huge good news for us. Such is Christ's commitment to us, that he forgets our sin. Only he can do that, as he tells us in Isaiah 43, verse 25, and Jeremiah 31, verse 34. Only God can choose to forget sins, and only the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross makes that choice possible. And it's only the commitment of Christ to go to the cross and to shed his blood there that frees us totally from our guilt in God's sight. Many of you know the story. I've quoted the song from Stephen Curtis Chapman before about when Cortez landed his 500 men on the east coast of Mexico, he set fire to the ships that had brought them. His warriors, watching their means of return to Spain go up in flames, they knew that they were committing everything, their whole life, to one another in the cause of conquering a new world for Spain. So also with you and me. When our Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples, and to you and I, when he says, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." When the call of the Spirit sets our feet on the shores of commitment to the cross of Christ, our ships are also burned. We are set free from all the worldly loves and loyalties that might come between us and Christ, and also between one another. The commitment made in our baptism was first from God to us, to redeem us, to rescue us, and to buy us back. Now, we've then committed ourselves into the truth and the plan of what God has done for each of us. He has. It is accomplished. He has removed our sins from us. We're dead to them. And our sins are now his responsibility. As we said, he alone can forget sin. Excuse me. And for the sake of the blood of Jesus Christ, he does just that. Now, we have relief in that. But for that relief to be experienced, we must trust what God has said that he has accomplished, that he has done. Now, we kind of think sometimes that since we cannot forget our sin, well, then obviously God cannot either. Well, what we really forget in all of this is we're not God. We are not God. He has said what he has promised to do, and we tend to reduce him to our level and say, no, surely he can't do that. But he can, and he does. And we now live and trust and commit to put our whole being into that truth by following our leader, Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to keep this in mind. This is important. The plan of following Christ is that we follow. We don't lead. We don't walk our own way. We don't indulge our own sinfulness. If we do that, then we deny the cross and its power to free us from our sin. When Jesus asked the men to follow him today, that is what he was asking for. A commitment. A commitment of their life to his life. Now, this wasn't simply asking them to go for a walk along the seashore. They knew that. They understood that. They were being asked to follow in the way of Jesus. That meant then, and it still means today, to follow in the way of the cross. Jesus knew what he was asking of them, even if they didn't fully understand it. We, however, have an advantage over them in that we know. We know that in our commitment to following Christ, we commit to the cross of Jesus Christ. And that cross then ties us to God's commitment to us in the resurrection of Jesus as well. God's commitment to us, to raise us from the dead, just as he raised Christ, is what we are committed to as well. We place our whole life in God's hands. We trust him to keep his promise of eternal life and salvation. And that promise was made in the Old Testament lesson today, in verse 2. Read this with me, please. The people walking in darkness, a light has dawned. That is God's commitment to us. We're called to die to ourselves and to live in the light of the gospel. We too are called to be committed to the way of Christ, which is the way of the cross. And that brings us back to the verse that we started with from Corinthians today. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross of Christ's death is what we live by, and that is foolishness to this world. Our ships have been burned, and there is no going back. So we go forward. We go forward together here, caring for one another, knowing that in the power of Christ's cross, God has accomplished the washing away of our sins, and he forgets them. He forgets them all. What is it that we say we do here? We go forward together, hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.